Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Mike Giglio.
I'm Indong. 6 days until the national championship tips off.
6 days, baby, and we're back. It's been a while, obviously, but as you know, March Madness has been churned and churned. We are now down to the final four teams in this tournament. Very exciting. Obviously, it's been a great season thus far, especially this March Madness tournament. A lot of great unexpected things. A lot of really cool storylines coming up soon as well. So, cannot complain at all, and just been fantastic and very sad that there are only three games left in this 2021-2022 college basketball season.
Yeah, no complaints from me either. Just enjoying the tournament so far. Obviously, it's been a while. Yeah, school's been it's not fun right now.
Not really, no, especially because both of our teams are not dancing at the moment, but it's all right. Obviously, a lot of stuff happening in the transfer portal as well as the coaching carousel. We'll be covering that on Thursday, so mark your calendars for that. Thursday will be episode for that, as well as our picks for the Final Four and probably the champion as well. We might do an episode before that, but we shall see. But, yeah, obviously today should be a short and sweet one. Just going to cover the Sweet 16 games, Elite Eight games, and got some other terms. We're going to talk about the NIT and the Basketball Classic as well. So we'll cover that mostly today because some of those games tipped off yesterday, and it's obviously narrowing down to the finals for those two tournaments as well. So, yeah, without further ado, I'll kick it off to you, and let's get started with the Sweet 16.
Yeah, let's go to the West region. Obviously, the first game, Gonzaga, Arkansas, in 1-4 game. Arkansas in the must-bust win this game, 74-68. They had it all in control the whole time. Very good win for Gonzaga. Chet Holmgren got in foul trouble very early, and there was some very controversial calls at the very end. Especially the last two fouls, his fourth and fifth fouls. You can explain those. But, yeah, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, man, this was a great game. Loved it from start to finish. And I think the real reason Gonzaga did not win this game was the guard play. Really bad efficiency from the guard play and Arjun Nembhard. Hunter Salas did pretty well, but Andrew Nembhard. He's got to step up, man, and he did not show up in this game especially. Arkansas dominated this game start to finish. Really good performances from Jalen Williams and also, obviously, JD Notae. Notae, I believe, led the charge in this game, but I was very surprised with, obviously, like I said, Nembhard. He was 2-for-11 from the field, 1-from-3 from three-point land, and Rasir Bolton did not do the greatest as well, but obviously, as you know, Timmy and Holmgren took over this game, but Holmgren fouled out, as you know. Very interesting, very controversial, but I don't really know how to complain about this, but obviously, the bench. Lacking of bench presence showed in this Gonzaga game, and I think that's why Arkansas took this one. A very well-rounded performance, obviously, from these Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. It was just a Drew Timmy show for Gonzaga. For Arkansas, it was a lot more rounded, I'd say. And for the other side, Texas Tech Duke, the 2-3 game. Duke wins this one in a thriller, 78-73. It was back and forth throughout the whole time. But, yeah, Paolo Banchero. And he did his thing. And obviously, AJ Griffin stepped up this game as well as the Texas Tech heartbreak. Lots of seniors on this team. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, man, tough game. Texas Tech, I thought, had this one towards the end. They were up with 3 minutes to go. Duke storms back and wins this game by 5. And it was a great game for the most part, both sides. And early this game looked like it was going to be an interesting one as Texas Tech was up, I believe they were up 7-0 to start the game off very quick. But Duke obviously held their ground and came back and won this game. McCullough and Bryson Williams played fantastic. Very sad to see them both go. Big story, obviously, was Terrence Shannon Jr. We'll talk about that more on Thursday. But he did not have the greatest of games. But obviously, as you know, Duke starters really carried this one. And it's so amazing to see how inexperienced this team is, but how dominant they are. And Banchero went off for 22. Williams had 16. Roach had 15. Griffin only had 11, but he had some big shots down the end of this game, and it was a really good performance, obviously, from Coach K. Keep continuing the storyline and obviously going to a dramatic, legendary finish, it seems.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. Obviously, we went on Instagram Live before this game, and I said the play of the day was 137, over 137.5, and obviously it hit. Obviously, these two teams are supposed to – or Texas Tech is supposed to pride itself on defense – and their defense was not that good. They allowed 78 points. That is, by Texas Tech standards, very bad. But, yeah, they played a very good offensive game, just not enough to keep up with Duke, obviously.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, they played very well in the first half defensively. I believe it was a very low-scoring first half, if I'm not mistaken. But second half definitely took off, and it just exploded. And, yeah, they scored, what, 151 together? So, yeah, very high-scoring game. This one was also a relatively high-scoring game, and then we go to the East region now. The 8th seed, UNC Tar Heels, taking on the 4th seed, UCLA Bruins. We knew this one would be a good one. Obviously, UNC just knocked off Baylor in the second round. UCLA had a good win over St. Mary's. The big question here was if Jaime Jaquez was going to play in this game. He ended up playing in the game, but it didn't really matter because UNC won this game. It seemed like they dominated most of this game, and they won this game 73-66. Great performances, obviously, from the starters. Caleb Love especially had the best game of his career, 30 points in that one, and he exploded against that UCLA Bruins defense. Another team who prides himself, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Bernard and Campbell came to play. Zhu Zhang could have played a lot better. Same with Jaquez. And obviously, the lack of a forward and center haunted UCLA, I think, at the end of this game. Bacot had 15 rebounds in this one. What are your thoughts on this UNC-UCLA game?
Yeah, I think UNC won because of Caleb Love, obviously. He just played out of his mind. There were some shots that I saw he took. I was like, why is he taking that? And they just go in. So he's just playing out of his mind. Props to him. But, yeah, UCLA, obviously, lack of big man. Bacot was living on the boards on both ends of the floor. And, yeah, well-earned win by UNC.
Yeah, indeed. Well-earned win, indeed. And they moved on, and they played. The surprise of the tournament once again prevails. St. Peter's, the 15th seed, they took down the 3 seed, Purdue. So they've knocked off Kentucky, Murray State, and Purdue in their run thus far. They take down Purdue 67-64. It was a very close game for the most part. And I'm very surprised Purdue ended up losing this game. It seemed like they had this game dominated from start. But, yeah, they did not play really good. Eric Hunter Jr. did not play that well. Ivy did not play that well either. 4-for-12 in the field for him. Not the greatest of things. I was very surprised Zach Edey did not get it going. He only had 11 points. I thought he would definitely dominate a lot more, as Williams did. Draymond Williams had a very good game, but it was not enough, obviously, for this interesting St. Peter's team. No one on St. Peter's really dominated. Banks obviously had 14, but other than that, no one really had anywhere near double-digit points. I mean, only Eddard and Rupert had 11 and 10, respectively. But very good game for St. Peter's. What were your thoughts on this game? It was a very interesting one.
Yeah, you can see the St. Peter's box scores. It's a team win, obviously, a program win as well. Not to mention it was on National Peacock Day, so yeah, they had could have kind of had to win this one. But yeah, another eye popping stat is Zach Edey had 5 turnovers, so they definitely did their scouting. Shaheen Holloway is a terrific, obviously, coach, and yeah, very good win by St. Peter's, possibly the best Cinderella in March Madness history. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely indeed winning that game. First team ever as a 15 seed to go to the Elite Eight. So they made history. Obviously, we've seen 15 seed go to the Sweet 16 before, Florida Gulf Coast, Oral Roberts. They just missed it, the capitalization. St. Peter's finally got their chance, and they definitely prevailed. Yeah, so that's definitely one of the best Cinderella teams we've seen in a while. UMBC also shouted them out. Obviously, game respect game with those two teams. Obviously, two of the most notorious Cinderellas in the past decade or so. Yeah, turnover battle, obviously, Purdue had 15. St. Peter's only had 8, so that's obviously an eye-popping stat, like you said. And I was very surprised. I thought the run was going to come a little bit short, making it this far. But, yeah, St. Peter's definitely shocked a lot of people on National Peacock Day.
Mm-hmm. And we'll now go to the South region. Arizona, the 1 seed, they faced the 5 seed Houston. And Houston won this game by 12. They had this controlled start to finish. You could just tell from tip-off that they were going to win this game, and they just played with the intensity that we probably haven't seen in March Madness yet. And yeah, Arizona was just locked up. Obviously their stars could not get going, and yeah, just another program win for Calvin Sampson and company.
Yeah, definitely agree. And the defense was obviously the key point to this Houston win. Mathurin, I know he had 15, but watching this game, he got locked up really bad. And I was very surprised he ended up with 15. It seemed like he had maybe 5 points in this game. And Tubelis, 0 for 8. Houston's defense just absolutely clamped this Arizona team. And Arizona never could get a run going. They cut the lead to 6 with a couple minutes left. But that press obviously distracted Houston. But Houston ended up winning this game pretty big. And they shot the ball fantastically. Jamal Shedd, obviously 21. Edwards, Kessler, at 9. No, Kyler, no. What's his first name? Kessler, it's Kessler, right?
Nah, that's the guy that plays for the Nets.
That's why I'm confused. What's his first name? Kyler?
Kyler.
Okay. I mix up the Edwards a lot, as you can see. But Edwards obviously had 19. And those two guys dominated the floor, it seemed. And, yeah, Arizona, like I said, could not get it going at all. Dalen Terry played great, but no one else really played amazing. And shout out my boy Omar Ballo. Didn't have the best of games, but, hey, love to see him on the court. One of my favorite players. But, yeah, successful first season for Tommy Lloyd and company at Arizona. Obviously a lot of work to do moving forward if they want to be back to where they were, obviously, the last. It's been a while since Arizona's been near the top. I mean, they've had some very good one-seed runs, but obviously nothing like a national championship in recent history, at least for these Wildcats.
Yeah, I'd say it's been about 3-4 years since they've had a national championship team like this. But, yeah, very good year one for Tommy Lloyd. Obviously, we did not expect him to be a one-seed, let alone a tournament team. And they shocked us, or they shocked basically everyone. And, yeah, congrats to them. On the other side, the 11-seed Michigan versus the number 2-seed Villanova and your national champions. Villanova wins this game by 8 points. Obviously, this game looked like it was in Villanova's control from start to finish. Obviously, Michigan threw some punches, but Villanova took them and threw punches of their own. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, this is a really good back-and-forth one-punch game. The main story in this game was obviously my boy, Jermaine Samuels. Massachusetts native, obviously. Grew up 30 minutes away from us, so we heard 30, the name.
It's a lot longer than 30 minutes.
What? It's like, okay, 40, 10-minute difference, obviously. In the same, obviously, what am I trying to say, league as us in basketball. He's played our high school team. We were obviously a little too young, but he's played our high school team and for a couple of years before he moved. But, yeah, he's a fantastic player, definitely showed out. 22 points in this game, and he was the key focal point team for this game. Obviously, some players did not step up that well. Gillespie didn't play the best. Moore played okay. And obviously, as you know, Nova's not that deep, and that was definitely something to monitor for them going forward. And it didn't seem like it was a problem at that point. But will it be a point going forward? We shall see. Dickinson was very rattled in this game. He missed a bunch of bunnies. Michigan missed a bunch of bunnies. And if they made those bunnies and made their free throws, Michigan did not shoot well from the free throw line. 50% is not going to cut it. That's pretty much the game right there. That's 8 points they could have got back to maybe win this game. But, yeah, it seemed like Villanova was in control for the most part. Michigan had their runs. Nova had their struggles. But, obviously, Nova was the better team in this one.
Yeah. Hunter Dickinson did miss 4 layups. That's 8 points, and that's the difference right there as well. So Michigan easily could have won this game, I'd say. The game was there for the taking, and they just missed a lot of easy opportunities, I'd say.
Indeed it was. And finally, going to the Midwest region, before we get to the Elite Eight, first game up was the 1-seed Kansas Jayhawks, the 4-seed Providence Friars. No one really expected Providence to be here, and they made it here, and they held their ground. First half, it seemed like it was going to be a blowout, but Providence came back and only lost this game by 5, 66-61, Kansas win. Obviously, the story in this game, Mr. Remy Martin, Arizona State transfer. He's fantastic. He's been balling out for this Kansas team. 23 points, 7 rebounds in the win for Kansas. Obagi struggled. McCormick had his struggles. So did Christian Braun as well. But thankfully, Remy Martin was there to play, and he pretty much carried Kansas to win this game. Durham did his thing, man. He had a great game for the Friars. Watson didn't play the best, and a couple other guys kind of struggled from the field. But overall, Providence, obviously, as you know, but it was a fantastic run for Ed Cooley and company. Nothing to hang their heads about. They had a really good season this year.
Yeah, fantastic game. Obviously, Providence made it a game in the second half. And, yeah, we could call Providence frauds all we want, but this is probably their best season in a while. And under Ed Cooley, this was a fantastic season for them. So props to them and congrats to them. But, yeah, Remy Martin obviously transferred here, and he straight up was playing awful for the first 35 games, and now the tournament comes in. Now he's finally playing up to the level we expected him to play. So, yeah, Kansas, great win, and that's just another weapon they have now.
Indeed. And that'll definitely hopefully help them moving forward. And final game of the Sweet 16 before we get to the Elite Eight games, Iowa State 11-seed, Miami 10-seed. Who called this one? Not many. And Miami comes out winning this game. Pretty much a dominant start to finish in this game. Cameron McGusty has been phenomenal. He is one of the best players, I think, obviously, in the country. And he's definitely been overshadowed by a lot of other guys in the ACC. But McGusty, man, has been an absolute hooper. He had 27 points in this game. Jordan Miller played great as well with 16. Wong struggled. Isaiah Wong struggled in this game, as did Charlie Moore. But it didn't really matter. Miami won this game pretty convincingly. And Iowa State held their own. Obviously, a very good defensive team. The defense was a little bit lackluster in this game. But what are your thoughts on this final Sweet 16 game?
Yeah, this was somewhat of an ugly game. This is what Iowa State thrives on, making winning ugly games. They just didn't win this one. They didn't make enough shots to win this one. They had a lot of good open shots, too. They just didn't fall. And I just think Miami took advantage of that. Obviously, McGusty, hell of a game from him, too.
Yeah, indeed. Obviously, it was a great game for McGusty. And he, like I said, he's been a key focal point for this Miami team. He's one of the most underrated players in the country. And he's a really good player. So shout out to McGusty for getting it done.
Mm-hmm. And we'll now go to the Elite Eight, starting with the West region all over again. The 2-4 game, Duke versus Arkansas. What a game this was. Duke wins this one 78-69 to advance to the Final Four. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, this is a good game, and Arkansas could not really get a run for them, and Duke pretty much dominated this game start to finish, unfortunately. It was a great game, obviously, from the same guys. Griffin especially played out very good, and, yeah, obviously Duke has been a great team, definitely deserved it, and very young team, very inexperienced team, which is why a lot of people did not pick them, but they definitely held their own, and, yeah, they played great. But, obviously, Williams and Notte, they played very well as well, and I'll go quickly over that West Region All-Tournament team. Not too many surprises in this one. J.D. Notte, Arkansas. Jalen Williams, Arkansas. Jeremy Roach, Duke. Mark Williams, Duke. And Paolo Banchero, Duke. Obviously, Paolo Banchero was named most outstanding player in the West region this year. Not many complaints at all. Very good list. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, very good list, like you mentioned. And, yeah, that game, obviously, thing about the knack on Duke was they're a very inexperienced team. But those freshmen, A.J. Griffin, Jeremy Roach, and, yeah, Paolo, they've all stepped up when they needed to. And they do look like a national championship contender now. And, yeah.
Indeed, they do. Obviously, one of the last four teams remaining. So, obviously, they have to be a national championship contender, as you know. Next game up, going back to the East region, this one got ugly. And turning this game on, watching the tip, and seeing St. Peter's miss all these shots, I had a feeling this game would get ugly, and it did. UNC, 8th seed, took down St. Peter's, a 15th seed, 69-49. No chance for St. Peter's coming into this game. And just very unfortunate to see the Peacocks end their run like this. I saw them, how I knew this game was going to be over. In the first couple of minutes of this game, I saw them get an alley-oop, and they just botched it, if you know what I'm talking about. And that pretty much was the turning point for me. They missed a ton of open shots. They shot 25% from the three-point line, 30% from the field. You're not going to win a game shooting 30% from the field. It doesn't matter who you are. Baycott absolutely demolished St. Peter's, 20-22 in this game. He was fantastic. What were your thoughts on this game? Obviously, I'm forward to see Peacock's Cinderella story end.
Yeah, nothing to hold their heads down on. Their heads should be held high. But, yeah, UNC controlled this game from start to finish. Obviously, just straight locked them up. St. Peter's did what they could on defense. They're a defensive-minded team. And 69 points against UNC is not that bad. It's just – UNC just had perfect matchups. Obviously, their big men are a lot – Baycott's a lot more mobile than Edie and Williams and all the other big men they've played. So, it was just a bad matchup for St. Peter's, I'd say.
Yeah, indeed. And the rebound battle was obviously 49-33 in UNC's favor. That shows a lot. Turnover game was actually pretty even, 8-7. UNC actually lost turnover battle, but obviously the rebounds pretty much killed them. And that all-tournament team for the East region – it's pretty simple. Mondo Baycott, UNC, Caleb Love, UNC, Brady Manick, UNC, Daryl Banks, St. Peter's, and the man, the myth, the legend, Doug Eddard, St. Peter's as well. Obviously, the most outstanding player was Armando Baycott. What were your thoughts on that team? Obviously, no complaints at all.
Yeah, no complaints. Very interesting to see two St. Peter's guys, though. Shout out Doug. He's getting a lot of NIL deals. And, yeah, the fan favorite in this March Madness among America.
Indeed he was, and obviously he's getting a lot of love, and obviously a great player, and shout out to Doug. Hopefully we see how his journey turns up next. He doesn't even start, which is kind of funny. He doesn't even start for the St. Peter's team, which I find pretty ironic, but it is what it is. Obviously, the fans love him, and he's going to be hopefully a household name if St. Peter's can make it far once again next year.
Mm-hmm. And next up, the South, the number 2 Villanova, number 5 Houston. This is a very close game, very low-scoring game. The final score is 50-44 in favor of Villanova. Just two program teams doing program things. Obviously, Villanova just outclassed them. The story to monitor, though, Justin Moore has tore his Achilles. If you didn't see it, it is a very gruesome injury. You saw his leg pop. And, man, it sucks. And what are your thoughts on this game and that injury?
You know me, man. I picked Villanova to win it all, and I knew they were going to win this game. But when I saw that happen at the end of the – keep in mind,
Last possession.
Legit end of the game, and this happens. My heart just sank. I felt terrible for him, and that's just awful. Everyone, all the Nova guys were coming to him at the end of the game. He was crying, and I think he knew at that point that his season was probably going to be over, which was just unfortunate. That's a huge loss for Nova going forward. That's one of the starters. It's one of the key guys for this team, and that's really unfortunate, and it's going to be an uphill battle, I think, for Nova going forward, considering who they're playing next in that game. But obviously, Nova got the job done. Shout out to them. Obviously, Jay Wright has been a fantastic guy, and my bracket's still alive at the moment. Hopefully, this can still be in my possession. Tournament champ, baby. But we shall see. It's going to be an uphill battle here for Nova. Speaking of Nova, though, the all-tournament team for the South. Who is it? Well, I can name you the players. It's 4 Nova players on this team. Only 1 Houston guy. That 1 Houston guy was Jamal Shedd. And now for the Nova guys, Colin Gillespie, Caleb Daniels, Justin Moore, Jermaine Samuels. And the most outstanding player was Franklin's finest, Jermaine Samuels, winning this award. What are your thoughts on these guys absolutely balling out in the South?
Yeah, terrific. It's basically the Villanova starting lineup minus Eric Dixon or Brandon Slater. I forget which one's the 5th starter. But yeah, Jermaine Samuels, points prop. That was the play this whole tournament. It was all set at 10.5, 11.5. You just surpassed it. I think for the next game, his is at 14.5 right now. I don't know if I'm going to hammer that one. But, yeah, Jermaine Samuels played really well, obviously. You got to respect him, man. They were just sagging off him. Obviously, Justin Moore, Gillespie, those are the top 2 options. But Jermaine Samuels just did his thing out there.
Yeah, he did. And he absolutely balled out. And, yeah, obviously, he's been really under the radar for the most part. And he's finally coming to play, which is amazing to see. But, obviously – it's going to be a good battle against the team that they're playing next, which is obviously the Kansas Jayhawks, who took down Miami. That was a really good game, though. I was very impressed with Miami, at least for the first half. They scored. They're up by 6 at halftime against Kansas, and then what happened in the second half, I don't know. Miami scored 15 points in the second half, which was very abysmal. Kansas scored, I believe it was 47, I think. And, yeah, Kansas dominated this game. And it's just so crazy to see Kansas go from down 6 at halftime to win this game by 20. It just does not make sense to me. But Kansas absolutely balled out, and they were fantastic. Start to finish, they were the better team in this one. Even though Miami had their runs, obviously they did the most that they could. What are your thoughts on this game? It was really interesting to see.
Yeah, the first half was very interesting. Obviously, it was very close, and Kansas just pulled away. Remy Martin and the whole team just did his thing. I think the difference in the game was Mitch Lightfoot, obviously. David McCormick, he's a traditional big man. Mitch Lightfoot, a little bit more mobile, can stretch the floor, can guard the stretch bigs as well. I think he did a great job taking that pick and pop away.
Yeah, and once Wardenburg fouled out, I had a feeling this game was over. No one else really came to play besides McGusty and Wong in this one. Miller had 2 points, Moore had 5, Wardenburg had 5, and Bentley Joseph had 2. And Anthony Walker, my Miami jersey fellow, had only 3 points. And, yeah, nothing really else is going for Miami besides McGusty and Wong. Kansas, pretty good game. Obviously, Obagi led them in scoring. But McCormick had a great game. Braun had a good game. Lightfoot had a good game. Asbury Martin off the bench as well. So, yeah, Kansas obviously going to be one of the top guys coming into this Blue Blood Final Four, as we got obviously 4 Blue Bloods. I'm considering obviously Villanova a Blue Blood, because they've been very dominant the past decade or so. So that gives us Duke, Villanova, UNC, and Kansas for our Blue Blood Final Four. We'll probably make our picks on Thursday, so stay tuned for those. So, yeah, Final Four obviously here. So sad to see it already creep up, but those games tip off Saturday. So, yeah, stay tuned with those.
Yeah, we go over those picks Saturday, but that does not mean we are done yet. There's still a lot more basketball to be played. Congrats, first of all, to UMC Wilmington on winning the CBI. They defeat Middle Tennessee in a double overtime thriller last Wednesday. Jalen Sims named tournament MVP. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, man. UMC Wilmington, obviously one of the surprise teams this year, going from 7 wins to 21 wins. One of the best turnarounds this year. It wasn't the best turnaround, actually, believe it or not.
Now 27 wins with the 6 wins in the CBI.
Okay, so, yeah. It still was not the best turnaround this year, which is very surprising. A couple other teams made a better turnaround. Middle Tennessee, State, Townsend. We'll probably cover that in our top performer or team. What do we call it?
Underachieving
over. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Underachievers. We'll cover that once again on the offseason. But, yeah, it's been a great run for UNC Wilmington. I'm very happy to see them win. Obviously, did not expect them to do much in the Colonial this year, but what do? They go out and win the CBI. Shout out to them. Very deserving. And Sims, obviously a baller. He absolutely dominated this year, UNC Wilmington.
Definitely. We both had them 9-10 respectively in our Colonial rankings, so we did disrespect them a lot. But obviously, that's the beauty of college basketball. Anything happens. But, yeah, today there's still some college basketball to be played, and it is the NIT, the semifinals. Are today, I believe the finals are tomorrow. The finals are on Thursday, and so
no, they're not.
It's on Thursday. The finals on Thursday, right?
I don't know. I know the finals for the basketball classic are Thursday.
Yeah, the NIT finals also on Thursday. I just checked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 7-7. The games take place Madison Square Garden, neutral court, obviously. The Mecca College basketball kicking things off at 7:00. St. Bonaventure versus Xavier in the semifinals. Who do you have in this one?
Yeah, man, it's been a really good surprise for Xavier, I think. The Bonnies as well. Both these teams have played really good as of recently. I believe the Bonnies beat a pretty good team. I believe they beat Florida.
They beat Colorado, Virginia, Oklahoma.
Yes, that's right.
All the way from home, which is very
impressive. Very impressive indeed. And Xavier's also had a couple of scares in there, but also some pretty good wins. They almost lost to Vanderbilt, I believe, to make it here. But I do think the Bonnies win this game, man. I think they're playing for something a little bit more than Xavier is, especially with this Bonnies team being all seniors. I think they want this game more and hopefully can end their seasons off, our careers off, on a good note. Look at the Bonnies win this game. Relatively close to home.
Yeah, Xavier, no Travis Steele either. Sean Miller will be watching from the stands, though. I know that for a fact. But, yeah, I really want the Bonnies to win. I still believe that they could have gone deep in the tournament if they made it, and I think they proved it in the NIT.
Indeed. Second game for the semifinals, two good teams from two Power 5 conferences, Washington State Cougars, obviously a team who we thought was going to be a dark horse in March. Madness come start of the season. Play their own and obviously are here in the NIT semifinals, not the March Madness Final Four. Taking on the team who we thought should have been in the March Madness field but ended up being one of the best teams in the NIT, the Texas A&M Aggies, who are obviously the biggest surprise and biggest turnaround, obviously from February to March. It's been amazing to see what Buzz Williams has done in such a short little notice. What do you have winning this game?
Yeah, I got Texas A&M winning this game, obviously. Buzz believes he has something to prove to the committee as well. I remember in his first round NIT win, he had a little 10-minute speech on why they should have made the tournament. Obviously, he gave them all papers of proof to the media as well. It stirred up some controversy, but I understand why he did it and why they should have made the tournament. Obviously, he stated that he has 12 SEC wins, and that's fourth in the SEC, and the other three teams our top four seeds, but it is what it is for Texas A&M. I think they have something to prove, and I believe they might win the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. Obviously, Texas A&M, if they were in the SEC shoes in the March Madness tournament, they probably could have did better than pretty much all the teams except Arkansas that made it in the March Madness tournament. Obviously, the SEC, most underperforming conference in the March Madness field. Only one team made to the Elite Eight, which is very disappointing considering the craziness and the highly anticipated expectations we had for the SEC. Obviously, we knew it was going to be 7 teams deep, probably, and it was. And most of them got knocked out in the first round. Kentucky got knocked out first round. Bama got knocked out first round. Obviously, Arkansas made it to the Elite Eight. Tennessee lost second round, and Auburn lost second round as well. So all of these teams got bounced out relatively early besides Arkansas, which is very disappointing for the SEC standpoint. I do think A&M wins this game, though, and gets some revenge for those teams.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. We'll go over the final on Thursday. But one final we will go over today is the Basketball Classic final. The first year of the Basketball Classic concludes on Thursday at 7 o'clock on ESPN+. Fresno State will travel to South Carolina to take on Coastal Carolina. Who do you have in this one?
Yeah, man. I'm very excited for this one. Shout out to our boy, Red Cup / Josh, Coastal Carolina. He's been with them, actually, and it's awesome to see them in the Basketball Classic final, which is very – pretty much cool to see someone that we know, obviously, with this Coastal Carolina team. Unfortunately, there is a man on Fresno State that I absolutely love. Those who do not know his name, Orlando Robinson, baby. Mountain West's finest, besides David Roddy, of course. But I'm going to be going with Fresno State winning this game. Who is going to guard Orlando Robinson on this Coastal Carolina team? I personally do not know. Give me Fresno State Bulldogs winning the Basketball Classic.
Yeah, Orlando State. Orlando Robinson, man, he couldn't be guarded against Southern Utah yesterday. I took his prop 29.5 over PRA. He got 30. That's because he only played 27 minutes because the rest was garbage time, you know, because they couldn't guard him. So they pulled away. I think Fresno State wins this. I think they're a lot better team than Coastal Carolina, in my opinion. A lot better.
Indeed. Obviously, Southern Utah, I was very surprised they got that far in the Basketball Classic considering – Tevian Jones was hurt pretty much from start to finish in this season of March. But Orlando Robinson had a very good game, 20 points, 7 rebounds. And Jordan Campbell played pretty good as well. I did not watch this game, but I knew Fresno State was going to win because obviously it's a team that I've loved. And the Mountain West, also another conference that very heavily underperformed. We'll talk about that more at the end of the March Madness season. But I was very disappointed to see all four of these Mountain West teams get knocked out. Pretty much all in the first round, I believe, which is very disappointing. But I was expecting a lot more from this Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, and obviously we'll be back Thursday. So many coaching changes, so many guys in the transfer portal. I remember last week I said there was about 600 guys. There's now over 900 guys in the portal. So in about 8 days, there's been 300 guys plus. Entering the portal. There's a lot of big names as well that we got to go over. So be prepared for a very long episode on Thursday. I'm excited to finally catch up, assuming we have no schoolwork.
Yeah, catch-up days needed, and hopefully we can do it on Thursday. School has been obviously very rough and a lot of work going on, but obviously only a month left, final stretch of this school year. Then we're back to the summer where the off-season gets very dry, which is very unfortunate. But don't worry, we know when the conference tournaments begin, for previews at least, obviously, August 13th, as you know. But, yeah, very excited for this offseason. I know March Madness is still obviously the big thing on the plate, but very excited to cover some of these transfer portal news, coaching changes, because there's been a lot of good stuff. And in comparison to last year, I think the coaching changes have been a lot more significant and a lot more appealing, I think, to the college basketball fan. And the transfer portal, obviously, you know it's going to build up, and still a lot of big names I'm very surprised about, and the turnaround for these transfers is very sudden. Obviously, a team obviously lost a game in March Madness. Next thing you know, four guys go to the transfer portal, which is just absurd, and it just shows this transfer portal season is absolutely ridiculous. And can't wait to do some preseason top 25s as well over this offseason. It's going to be a very good offseason, but obviously we've got three more games left in this college basketball season. Obviously, the two other final games as well, with the NIT and the Basketball Classic on Thursday.
Yeah, still a lot of college basketball left to be played, obviously. We'll see the One Shining Moment video soon. I'm so excited for that.
As am I. I know the cheerleaders will be in that one. Shout-out to the two cheerleaders getting the ball stuck on the top of the backboard. But, yeah, I think that is all we got for today's episode. Relatively short, but also pretty sweet in there as well. Great games happening today. If you have got time, definitely tune to those NIT games. NIT is obviously the second – March Madness run, and some very good teams in there still. Definitely give them some love and see what they can do at Madison Square Garden come tonight at 7. So, yeah, I think that is all we got for today's episode. We'll see you on Thursday, but thank you guys for tuning in, as always. And it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.